In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria.
And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David.
He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room able for them.
And there was shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified.
But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is a Messiah, the Lord.
This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and laying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying,
"Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests."
Well, I want to thank my young liturgists this morning for doing a fabulous job with your reading. Thank you, guys, and thank you, parents and grandparents, and those that have put this story into their hearts as God places it into our hearts. This is throughout this month of December, we have been in this posture of waiting. We've been in this posture of anticipating and of looking for the coming or salvation to be born into our hearts anew. And I want to admit, or I want to recognize, that for not all of us, that may not come in the same way. It may not come on the same road. You all may be on different roads. You all may be taking different paths. But one thing is for sure, that whenever salvation comes to us, the way it comes is by a surprise. This morning, like I said, there are many different roads, many different snow-covered roads that brought us here this morning. And it was no different on that first Christmas morning. And so this morning, I want to very briefly just look at a couple of the different paths that the characters who show up in that Christmas story, the wise men, the shepherds, Mary and Joseph, look at the different paths that they took. Because all roads, whether we realize it or not, all roads in our lives lead to the stable. The news of Jesus' birth is not just good news for some people. It's not just good news for the super religious and pious people. It's good news for all people, as Luke's gospel says. So the first road. The first road is the road that the wise men took. Now, the Bible calls the wise men magi. They were stargazers, astronomers. They were the ones who looked to the heavens for wisdom and guidance, and they looked for clues in the natural world to give them direction. These were the intellectuals. These were the skeptics. These were those that that weren't content with simple answers. They were the skeptics. And while they were on their way to Bethlehem, maybe they lost their way. Maybe they got sidetracked or they lost the path. And sometimes when they lost their way or got sidetracked, they had to maybe stop for directions and to look and to ask until finally they reached Bethlehem. You know, the Bible calls Jesus the way. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. And that means that even honest seekers, even those who are not convinced on first glance or need a little bit of extra time and inquiry to say finally yes, that even these will find their way to the stable. Others of us, we take the Mary and Joseph road. Mary and Joseph road is the road in life that feels like it is chaotic and out of control. Mary and Joseph got news that startled them, that kind of sent their life into a tailspin. As teenagers, unwed, expecting a baby, this was a scandalous moment for Mary and for her fiancé, Joseph. And I bet we know what that feels like. I bet all of us in some way or another know what it feels like to feel like life is chaotic. Whether it's marital distress or family struggles or financial burdens or emotional heartache that leaves us teetering on the edge week after week. Is there anyone here who knows what that road is like? The road of chaos, the road of uncertainty. To give you a sense of just how relatable this road was to Mary and Joseph, last year when I had a chance to travel in the Holy Land, one of the things that was so startling to me, and I've mentioned this before, is the scale of how far things are from one another. When it talks about in Luke 2 that Mary and Joseph went from Galilee to Bethlehem, you know, we kind of think in our minds that it's just, you know, they just went to Le Gros or they went to La Fountain. It's about a 100-mile journey. And averaging about 10 miles a day, that's a 10-day journey. That is a lot of time with an aching back and sore feet, being 8-9 months pregnant, to consider your circumstance. Sometimes God gives us that time in our circumstance, whatever it is, in order to prepare us for the surprise, to prepare us for His grace and His mercy and His love to be revealed in our lives again. If you're going through this stage of feeling like it's chaos, have you grown used to it? Has it become sort of like your homeostasis, your normal, your new normal? This is the Mary and Joseph road. Or maybe you're like the shepherds. Maybe you take the shepherd road. Sure, things could be better, but, you know, things are for the most part pretty good. Why risk disrupting, you know, a good thing? We've got a job. Maybe got a few sheep. Maybe you've got some loved ones that you care about or who care about you. Why risk all of that for something as audacious and as foolhardy as a calling? or as a dream, or as a holy purpose. Maybe you know what this road is like. Things are good. You've got a lot of things going for you that you should be thankful for. After all, you're not like Mary and Joseph. Life is not terribly hard. It's, for the most part, pretty good. But maybe there's a sense inside you that God's called you to something bigger, to a deeper purpose, to a holy calling, something to give your life for, something to give you purpose, something to risk good enough for the miraculous. This is the shepherd road. And, you know, I'm also not so naive to think that there aren't also people here today who really aren't all that interested in jumping down, up and down, and shouting, hallelujah, amen, go Jesus, high five. Maybe there's some that aren't. Maybe there's some who are skeptics. Maybe people who would say, you know, if I'm being really honest with myself, this whole Jesus thing is good for you. It's okay for you. But I'm not so sure that I'm the kind of person that God would want, or I'm not so sure that I believe this whole God thing. After all, my life has looked this way. I've got these things in my past. That good news may be good for some people, but I'm not so sure that it's good news for me. There may be somebody here who feels like they're on that road. So how do any of us, whether we are intellectual skeptics like the Magi or workaday shepherds or even overwhelmed, overstressed, underrested parents like Mary and Joseph, how do any of us ever meet and encounter the God who is behind it all? We only ever meet the Savior as a surprise. It comes to us on the roads that we're on. And he surprises us with his presence. He surprises us with his mercy. He surprises us with his love. That night was just an ordinary night like any other. Just like the ordinary nights before it, and suddenly there was this angel, an angel chorus. And he stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Now that's surprising, but that's not the biggest surprise. And the angel said, "Do not be afraid, for I am bringing you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For to you today, this city, is born in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Now, this is an even bigger surprise, but it's still not the biggest surprise. "And this will be a sign to you, that you will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." Bingo. There's the biggest, the most glorious Christmas surprise of them all. The Savior, the glorious one that we've been looking for, that we've been waiting for, the only one who can save us, is a baby. A baby. Yep. Baby. Wrapped, clothes lying in an ordinary manger. God had chosen to come to us as a great and powerful warrior with an angel army at his side, there would have been no doubt that we would have known that that was God coming to be with us. But he chose to enter the world quietly, subtly, even vulnerably. So why did he enter this way? Why a baby and not a warrior? So that he could be like us. So that he could be vulnerable like us. So that he could be human like us. There's the surprise. God's revealed at Christmas as God with us. Every earthly emotion we face, every fear, every doubt, every anxiety, every hurt and grief, love and joy and peace, He has faced it all. He is the God who knows you because He's been through everything that you have faced. And by the Spirit, He's going through it with you even today. But God wasn't just looking for, you know, for us to gather around the manger and ooh and ah at the precious little baby. No, when Jesus became a man, He lived among us, full of grace and truth. He walked our roads to show us how to live in this world under heaven. Then one day, He walked straight to Jerusalem to die on a cross for you. This might be the biggest surprise of them all. Whatever road you're on your journey with God, even if it feels like heaven is slipping away, keep your eyes focused on Jesus. He is the one who holds heaven and earth together. Stay on your road, even if you don't feel it or see it now. Stay because salvation is being revealed in your life. Because it's, after all, a surprise. And when it comes, all we can do is praise God. Christmas is a time when we celebrate that Jesus came to be among us as good news of great joy for all people. Amen. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, I am grateful that You have chosen to come into our lives, not as somebody who is holy and apart and distant, not as a powerful, conquering king, one that we can't relate with in that way, but one who we are intimately able to relate with as a child, as a vulnerable baby, one who is dependent upon his mom and dad, and yet, as he grew in wisdom and in knowledge and in stature. As our Savior, we praise You, Lord Jesus. We praise You for coming into our lives. We praise You for coming into our world. And Lord, we pray now for our world. We pray for the heartache and the hurt that is felt in our communities. I pray for those within the sound of my voice this morning who are going through struggles of family, of jobs, of finances. Lord, I pray that You would comfort us with Your gentle peace. God, I pray for those who are expecting children of their own. We pray that that surprise of new life would be for them as much a surprise as it was for Mary and Joseph. God, I pray that as we walk on our roads, whatever road we might be on today, that Your grace and Your mercy, that Your love and Your peace would go with us, that it would remind us each day that there is a God in the world and that His name is Jesus. Let His name be praised. Glory and honor, salvation, in Jesus' name. And now let us pray the prayer that He taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
You have been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.